Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
Look, the narrative's not going to change, Dan, until you beat them in the playoffs. It's not going to matter unless October, so... If we happen to come back here in October, we're going to show up. We're going to expect to win.
Runner not going on. Fly ball into right center field. This ball cut off by Judge. Altuve is going to come to the plate. Throw by Gregorius.
A save in game 7. Bird into center. Springer says he's got it. The Houston Astros win the pennant.
Third time in 5 years that the Astros and the Yankees meet in the ALCS. Hey, you can even throw the 2015 wild card game in there if you would like to. I got to be honest with you, Blankers. We talked about this during the show. I wanted the Yankees to win yesterday. After watching that game, seeing the Yanks over the guards, getting ready, prepping for this matchup tonight, I'm fired up. I'm not sure I feel this way if the Guardians win.
I totally agree with that. I think that right there should have made the hair stand up on the back of your neck and give you the chicken skin and get you all dialed in and focused again on the importance of this series and every time these two teams play. Remember how suddenly in the middle of a regular season of just getting through the days, it got real important when you went through that 9-game stretch and you played the Yankees twice?
Gotham Gauntlet.
Times 10. Times 100. This is what we're talking about as we talk about Astros-Yankees, and it all got brought to the surface again. You thought rocking the baby stirred some people up in that Cleveland-New York series? It ain't even close to everything that's being stirred up and regurgitated and overused with the asterisks and the cheating all the way through what's the most important thing, and that is that aside from putting them up for adoption, the Astros have been the Yankees' daddies for 3 straight postseasons when they've met, and the fact that they had the opportunity to meet again for a 4th time, it is going to be on in a big way starting this evening.
Yeah, this is the rivalry in baseball right now. Like, I know that the Yankees and the Red Sox have the more storied rivalry in the American League. I know the Dodgers and the Giants is a big deal. But when you're talking about perhaps the 2 best teams in the American League for the last 5 years, this is it. The Astros are number 1. The Astros have been to 6 straight ALCSs. This is the 3rd time the Yankees have been to the ALCS in that 5-year stretch. And oh yeah, this is the first playoff matchup since 2019. What happened after the playoffs of 2019? The stuff came out about the Houston Astros. The New York Yankees felt scorned about what happened, at least in terms of like talking the talk, even though that they employ Marwin Gonzalez, Carlos Beltran. They made a run after Justin Verlander. So like the actions don't say the same thing as their words. But this is the first time that the Astros and the Yankees meeting in the playoffs since 2019. We know what happened in the offseason of 2019. And while like I don't think it matters between the lines, I don't think that matters between the players. From a fan base perspective, it 100% matters.
Oh, it matters. And I think it does matter from the player's perspective. Whether it matters because it's cheating or not is a different story if it's still carryover from 17. What matters is you heard it from the Yankees. You heard it from the Yankees even after this series. Hey, look, it's going to be a revenge series. It's going to be where we're going to be fired up and there's no love lost because we know they've eliminated us, them being the Yankees, saying this. for the last several playoff runs. They know that every time that they're feeling really good about themselves, like the first half of this season when they had the best record in baseball and everybody was basically penciling them in for not only a World Series, but also penciling them in for possibly getting the best regular season record of all time. And then lo and behold, they get their ass handed to them in two straight series by the Astros. And the next thing you know, it's like they're falling, the Astros are rising, and all of a sudden here we are, and look who's got home field advantage.
The Astros have the home field advantage. I think I heard something about the Yankees were like the first team in Major League Baseball to 50, but then like the Dodgers were the first team to 70. We know about the second half that the Yankees had. Wasn't fantastic. That huge lead in the American League East, it shrunk all the way down to 3.5 once upon a time. Now the Yankees weathered the storm. They got the second spot. They won. Look, that five-game series against the Guards, that was a grueling five-game series. That was a five-game series that had two rainouts on two different days. Game two got rained out, got pushed back a day. Game five got rained out, got pushed back a day. And quite honestly, the Yankees are entering this series, I'm not going to say limping, but their pitching staff's not set up. It's not ideal. They're throwing their number four starter in game one, their number three starter in game two.
Yeah, no, and you know what? They're going to hope to right the ship over the weekend when they get back to New York and they can get Nestor and Cole on regular rest. But they're going to try and do whatever they can. Look, this is just like a regular season series for them because of the fact that you do so many one city to the next without a day off, and you just get ready to play. So I don't think it's going to be anything where you should woe is me or listen to the Yankees faithful whine and cry tears of sorrow because of the fact they're getting screwed before the series even started. This is ideally just another series in terms of the travel and all that. Wipe that away. You're right, though, from the perspective of the Astros are set up yet again to have their pitching staff exactly how they want it, to have everything with the home field advantage sitting there ready and waiting for them. I've had too many people come to me and start talking to me about the table is set, this is the Astros' year. I said, don't say that. Just don't jinx me on that right now because you can't worry about what other teams do or don't do. You have to handle your business. And just coming off the series where you can say, you know, from a quick look at that Mariners series, oh, they handled their business. That was the toughest sweep I think you might have ever seen in Major League Baseball in terms of how close the games were, the extra inning game at the end, and the way they had to fight. But it helped them. It prepared them. Just like you said, the grueling series with the Guardians got the Yankees ready, even though the pitching staff got depleted a bit. This is exactly what the Astros needed, getting ready for the league championship series.
A couple of other quotes that we didn't play in that the intro to join the show, which was marvelous work by Brendan. Brian Cashman, remember what he said earlier this year?
Oh,
something so
yep.
illegal and horrific, even though they employ Marwin Gonzalez and Carlos Beltran and Cameron Maybin and tried to get Justin Verlander. But that those quotes that came from Cashman, that's not lost on the Houston Astros. That's not lost on this fan base. That's why yesterday, whenever we put the poll up on our Twitter account, that most people, the majority of people, wanted the Yankees in the ALCS. I saw some Yankee fan site or whatever yesterday say, oh, the Astros didn't want the Yankees. And then I just linked the Twitter post that we put on ESPN 97.5 that had a thread full of people wanting the Yankees. So that's something they'll remember. And did you see this quote from Kyle Higashioka? Who is the backup catcher for the New York Yankees? Like, this is the backup. He's not even the starter. Like, this dude might start once in the series. He might start when Severino's on the mound. He did get one start in the division series. So maybe he gets one start in the ALCS. This backup catcher trying to get some popularity, trying to pander to his fan base, we don't like them about the Houston Astros. They've gotten the best of us the last few years. We do have that chip on our shoulder. We have to prove we can get past them. Like, the second part of that's all right. But we don't like them, said backup catcher that no one's ever heard of.
No one needs you to like anybody, Kyle, because they don't like you either. I hate to break this to you, but you aren't America's darling that everybody, you know, goes to bed dreaming about how great you are and what a buddy you can be. Everybody has always hated the Yankees. If the rest of the nation hates the Astros because of 17 and they're still hanging on to that, so be it. But that's why I always say it doesn't matter what they think about you and who they think they like and don't like. It just matters that you are the best team in the American League and you go out and show out and prove it right now in this series and send yet another message to the Big Apple, to their big annoying fan base, and to the Pinstripes and Aaron Judge that, hey, we're glad we're not you because we're us and we're going to continue to roll. And that's what you want to see starting this evening. That's why it's such a big thing for the Astros to get off to a good start. not to get off to the start they got off a two against Seattle, to make sure you get the real Justin Verlander, to make sure that you start putting up crooked numbers and doing what you're supposed to do with a team this talented, and then just be on the attack the entire series.
Look, this is it's an important game one. The Astros need, they don't need to win it, but they should win it. The Yankees, if they steal game one, are going to be on cloud nine with the way that, the series ended in the DS, that they're throwing their number four starter today. James Tyon's a good pitcher. He is the number four starter for the Yankees, yes, but he's not bad. He's a solid pitcher that can keep the Yankees in the game. And Verlander's been lousy in his last half a dozen playoff starts. So this isn't a gimme for the Houston Astros, but it's a game that they should win, set the tone in the ALC. Yes. I don't think that this is a must win. I heard some people saying this is a must win for the Houston Astros, which is a ludicrous thing to say when it's a 7-game series. Even if the Astros lose game one with Justin Verlander on the mound, they are capable of winning four of the next six with the pitching staff that they have and the quality of team that they have. That said, game one is more important to the Astros than it is the Yankees.
Absolutely. Because, the Yankees aren't supposed to win tonight now because of the travel, because of the fact that, they had to do everything they had to do just to get here. They're going to make sure that everybody knows that they have built-in excuses, and if they don't win, no one's going to hold it against them or say it was catastrophic. They're going to start questioning the Astros if they lose game one with their ace on the mound at home in the league championship series, regardless of how long it is. But you're right. It is not the end-all, be-all to decide the series if they lose game one. Plenty of times, plenty of teams, including this Astros team, has gone on the road and gotten the game back that they lost at home, gotten home field advantage back when they needed it. They can do it again. But you'd like to be in the driver's seat the entire series, and you'd like to send a message right from game one that this is our series to lose, not yours to win. And hopefully that's the case.
713-780-ESPN. How are you feeling heading into game one of the ALCS with the Houston Astros going toe-to-toe with the hated rival, the New York Yankees? 713-780-3776, our HRMP listener line. We're also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can find us on Twitter. He's at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. And are the Yankees playing on the house's money? I'll tell you what we mean in a little bit. I can tell you that you're playing with the house's money whenever you get a goal from Proton Coops. Why? Because it's the best basketball goal on the market. You pay the price that you would pay at a big box store for a goal that's far superior and far better. Why? Tempered glass backboard gives you a true, authentic feel. Competition-grade breakaway rim, perfect for dunking, hanging, keeping you safe. Extended overhang, which keeps a clear path under the rim, keeping you and your loved ones safe. Don't have to worry about rolling an ankle on that basketball stanchion, which sometimes can be a problem for me. We mentioned throwing down some jams. To do that, you're probably going to have to lower down the goal. At least I am. So adjustable goals for every part of the game. Lower it down. Hold your own little slam dunk competition. You want to have a three-point competition, we'll raise it up to regulation and put it up there at 10 feet. The best feature, at least in my opinion, they install the goal. And when they do that, durability is a strength of Proton Coupes. Stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel. Exclusive rust armor makes them sturdy and strong. But the pros will come out to your place. You can sit back in the recliner, watch some playoff baseball. Maybe you're wanting to watch some basketball. And the pros will install the goal professionally. Perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at Proton Coupes do all of the work for you. Proton Coupes goals come in a variety of sizes and options that'll be a perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN, Yankees, Astros tonight. How pumped up are you for game one of the ALCS between a couple of bitter rivals? 713-780-3776. HRMP listener line, 8437. I think Verlander, game one, is a definite must win. He hasn't been good in the playoffs, so getting him this win tonight, hopefully with him being what we know him to be, I believe would be just what he needs to calm any nerves he might have from his last outing. Look, that could be true, but it's not a must win. The Astros are capable of winning four of six if they lose tonight.
Look, the question becomes, is it a must win for him? Is it a must win for the Astros?
That's a good point.
It's not a must win for the Astros, but it could be a must win for him because mentally we know how baseball players are creatures of habit, how they believe in superstitions, how they really overthink when they go into slumps and have struggles. And we know, as much as publicly he won't admit it, Justin Verlander knows exactly what we've been talking about and what his track record in the playoffs is over the last six games. We know that his last outing was not good. And heading into where he's almost inevitably going to opt out and look at free agency and look at some team, whether it be the Astros or otherwise, to give him a whole boatload more money, you know that if it's a good team, they're going to say, but we need you to be different than what you've been in the playoffs. And right now, your playoff record isn't good, and that scares us. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want it for this team. He doesn't want it for his legacy. He doesn't want it for the way this season has gone. So he is going to be ultra-focused, and I guarantee he's hyper-dialed into what, you know, since his last start, trying to figure out what happened
and make sure
it doesn't happen again. But you're right.
It can work against you.
But I believe that you will see the best Justin Verlander tonight.
Mega says, someone wake up our Jose Altuve. He used another way to describe him. I'm just going to say Altuve. Jose Ofertuve. You know what I think could be one of the best things for Altuve? And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. The fact that you sweep the series against Seattle and you're hitless is one of the most important pieces that this team has had in this golden era and probably the greatest Houston Astro of all time. I think that that does lower the stress. Look, we played the quotes for Yankee Stadium. We all know what the Yankee fans chant at Jose Altuve when Jose Altuve's at the plate. Heck, they chant it whenever they're not even playing the Houston Astros because Jose Altuve lives in their incredibly high-priced apartment space rent-free in their head, right? Jose Altuve lives in the Yankees' heads. I think that little chant, I think the fact that they're going up against the Yankees, I'm not so sure that isn't the best thing that can happen to Jose Altuve.
I think that is the ultimate because we know that in the past, even in the regular season in Boston and all these markets where they had their chance to go get theirs and shout and yell and scream at Jose Altuve, he soaked it all up. He ate it up and then he excelled on the field and took pictures with the kids after the game, gave away his gloves and signed baseballs and ate all of it up, and it allowed him to dial in even more and concentrate on what means the most, which is performing on the field, which is the ultimate stifling pacifier for all these fans. I think you're absolutely right. It's exactly why I brought it up yesterday. I believe that hearing all that from the Yankee fan base, knowing that in his head, again, creatures of habit, he goes back to remembering the fact that every single time he plays the Yankees, he steps up. He hits, he does everything necessary to be the hero and the timely guy when they need him, and there's no reason to believe he can't do that again. So I think it's at the right time against the right team in the perfect setting on a national stage where he can once again send the message, I'm Jose Altuve and you're not.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. 6761, because the Yankees are starting their fourth and third starters in Houston, I feel like the pressure is on us because if they still want in Houston, they go back to New York in great shape. Look, that's true. Like, there's no arguing that 6761. I agree with that. If the Yankees get one of these first two games in Houston, they're going to feel good heading back to New York. And I think that the Astros need to get back home up 3-2. Like, that's where I want the Astros to be in this series. However they get there, I really don't care. Be up 3-2, bring it back to Houston, needing one of the two games in Houston. That would be ideal. From an Astros perspective, I mean, winning in 4 and 5 would be ideal, but you get my point. The Yankees, from a Yankees perspective, if we put on the pinstripes for a second, the Yankees would love to go back to the Bronx and Yankee Stadium in a series split at a game apiece.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And if they do...
But it's not a must-win.
They're going to have all the confidence in the world that they could potentially end it before it even got to an opportunity to come back to Houston, because that's the situation that isn't ideally set up for them. But if they would have the opportunity to get it, it could change the psyches and the fortunes and the outlook of everybody that is a fan of this team or a player and a coach for this team. So that's exactly what they're aiming for. But again, when we look at the matchups, and I'm kind of more on your side of things than I was yesterday, in the fact that I'm glad it's this year's Yankees team, and I look forward to this matchup because this doesn't worry me as much as the Yankees teams have worried me in the past because of their pitching staff. Their pitching staff isn't as dominant and isn't from top to bottom, from starters to relief pitchers, as dominant as they've been previously.
Outside of Cole. And Cole's had his worst year since like his first year, actually his last year in Pittsburgh. This is his worst ERA since his last year in Pittsburgh. But that said, I think Cole's tier one starting pitcher in baseball.
He is.
But other than that.
He's also had his moments, though, where he's had hiccups. He's not JV, but he's had some hiccups. So that's fine. Every team has their ace at this point in the season. But you don't have any definitive back of the bullpen guy that's going to come in, shut the door. No Aroldis Chapman. No one even close to it. What's the closer that from Baltimore that they shut down, that they brought? Zach Britton. They don't have any of those type guys that they've had in the past. You're going to see a whole lot of, and you made the great
Holmes,
point about
Schmidt,
it.
Schmidt, Johnny Lasagna, Wandy Peralta is their lefty. They Loaiza, love to go to.
Loaiza is a guy you're going to see a ton.
Lasagna, you mispronounced and it. It's the guy, Johnny Lasagna.
Who's the guy they used in, what, three straight games in the Cleveland series?
Are you talking about the lefty?
No, the big guy.
So they used Holmes, four games in that five-game series. Now, Wandy Peralta is the lefty that they used in every game.
Yeah, Peralta, you're going to see
every game.
You're just going to see him.
You're going to see him every game that's close against Yordan Bregman-Tucker.
No,
that's going to be his pocket. Yep. His pocket's going to be Yordan Bregman-Tucker, and you're more than likely, as long as the game is close, going to see it in every game of this series.
Yeah.
They love using their loogie,
yep.
Although he's going to get Bregman once. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Andrew Carlson's on the line. Great that Andrew could call into the Killer Bees. What's going on, Andrew?
What up, fellas? Thanks for taking my phone call. It is a beautiful day to spank the Yankees on national television again. I'm calling it here. Astros 12, Yankees 1. All that big payroll, all it's going to get them is another butt whooping by the Astros. Peace.
I like it.
Thanks,
Andrew.
I like setting the tone early.
12-1 would be quite a thumping. 12-1 would be interesting.
So your ideal scenario for how this goes pro Astros game 1.
Pro Astros today?
Yeah, what's the scenario you'd like to see the most?
I want to see Verlander pitch well.
Yeah.
I want Verlander to get back. I want Verlander to, like, everybody's been having hot takes about Justin Verlander because his last six outings in the playoffs, 0-4, the 6.40 ERA, can't trust him, we don't like him. Do you move him back? And, like, incredibly hot takes about the American League Cy Young that has been dominant as a Houston Astro pitcher in the regular season. That, to me, is the most ideal thing that you can see from an Astro perspective. You win the game, maybe comfortably. Maybe you score 5-6 runs. That way the 18-inning, one-run performance is out of sight, out of mind. But more important than anything else, other than a win, is Justin Verlander getting back on track and, again, having faith and confidence in Justin Verlander when he's on the mound.
Well, you touched on a couple of things. I'd like to see Altuve get a couple of hits.
Sure, yeah.
I'd like to see a couple crooked numbers early, or at least one crooked number early to give you some separation. And then I'd like to see JV roll, because then you can bury all of the issues that Astros fans have had coming into this series. You can bury that JV narrative that is so annoying to me that you would want to turn your back and shut the door on a guy that basically helped get you there the entire season by winning the Cy Young. And just because he had a bad outing against Seattle, you're ready to just quit on him. Stop all of it. It's the same way of anybody doubting whether Altuve can find it again. Altuve's going to be fine because he always has dug himself out of these type holes. And he's not Yuli Gurriel. It's not going to take him 6 months. He's going to be just fine, and this is the perfect scenario. So that's the ideal thing for me. Jump on the board early so you show your offense is alive.
Mm-hmm.
Get Altuve going, and then have JV just have a strong outing, win the game, and send all the messages you need to send, put everything else to bed.
I'm pretty much in the same spot with Verlander and Altuve. Like, I have confidence that they're going to figure it out because they're Verlander and Altuve. But I am watching closer.
Mm-hmm.
Like their performances in the DS has earned a watchful eye, right? Like Verlander, especially.
If JV craps
in the
six, bet again, yeah. I mean, there's going to be some serious evaluation.
You're watching it a little closer, right? It's like whenever you're disciplining your kid. They might not be in trouble yet, but you feel like they're getting close.
Pushing
so you're watching them a little bit closer.
Yep.
I'm watching Verlander a little bit closer. I'm watching Jose Altuve a little bit closer. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line, get Chef Jay in here. Chef Jay, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, my man?
What's going on, fellas? It's a great day to be a Houstonian. We got Astros. We got Rockets. I'm excited, man. I woke up this morning, and, like, I looked myself in the mirror, and I said, we're going to be great today. So I hope so. My prediction today is Altuve hits the opening home run, first inning, first batter, dings it out the park, gets himself out of this little hitting streak issues that he's having, and also – Jalen Green drops 50 points.
Chef Jay trying to get
Chef
in his
Jay cooking with
today.
Gas.
I like
I mean,
it.
He's cooking for all of us today.
That'd be an impressive performance by Jalen Green and Jose Altuve. If you drop 50 points in Atlanta when no one's watching, did it really happen? 713-780-ESPN. How you feeling with Astros Yankees tonight, game one of the ALCS? 713-780-3776. I'll also tell you what I mean about the Yankees. Are they playing with the house's money? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You're playing with the house's money if you partner with Fidelity Fuels. Fidelity Fuels is a wholesale supplier and distributor of petroleum products. Look, if you're a construction manager, you need to know about them. Trucking company, need to know about them. Oil field pro, industrial worker, farmer, any type of fleet fueling, you need to know about Fidelity Fuels. They want to partner with you, and you need to partner with them as well. You probably handle emergency response for things like hurricanes, floods, maybe a freeze from time to time. So you have a generator, we know that. But do you have your fuel lined up for said generator? You probably don't. Fidelity Fuels can make sure that you're prepared for that. How can they help trucking companies, you ask? Efficiency. Keep your drivers out of the truck stops and have more control of that fuel spending. Are you tired of paying retail prices for your DEF? Who isn't? Let Fidelity drop a tote right in your yard, saving you time and money. Do you need solvent for crude or asphalt cleanup? From tools to terminal storage tanks, Fidelity offers a variety of solvents to meet your exact need. Fidelity Fuels can help on the construction side as well. Mobile tank for on-site fuel storage and delivery to fill up those dirt movers or whatever else you need fueled. Fidelity Fuels works around the clock, 24/7, 365. That includes holidays, obviously. They are WBE, SBE, DBE, and Hub certified. So if you're looking for a partner for municipal contracts or to fulfill your company's diversity goals, Fidelity can take care of that. Reliable deliveries and competitive pricing. That's Fidelity Fuels. Call now at 877-938-FUEL, 877-938-3835, or check them out online at fidelityfuels.com. That's fidelityfuels.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Both of the ALCS rosters are out for both of these teams. We'll get into that in 15 minutes. But I have a theory with this New York Yankee team that I want to run by y'all in about 3 minutes. But let's go out to the HRP listener line, 713-780-ESPN. Chris, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, my man?
Yeah, what's up, J&J? Good afternoon, and good luck, Astros. Hey, my feel-good story for this series is for Trey Mancini to have a meaningful at-bat in the series. You know, with everything he's gone through on and off the field, I think that would be great. But, hey, Joel, you know, we're not making up leading narrative that he's been bad in the playoffs. I mean, he's done that on his own. We want JD to succeed, but it's up to him to right the ship and to have a good outing in the playoffs, you know, have a quality start in the playoffs. I mean, here's a take. If JD doesn't do well in the playoffs, does he take the mantle from James Harden as being a choker in the playoffs?
Chris, appreciate the call. I didn't say you were making it up. You did.
You said he completely made it up, that it was fairy tale fiction and that it was created, born.
You're going to get all these people now to get on.
I'm trying. Why not?
You're going to get on this, like, Skip Bayless move, and then everybody's going to believe that that happened.
No, I'm kidding.
I didn't say that at all. What I said was, I said even he is aware of the fact that over his last six starts in the playoffs, it hasn't been good. I'm sure it is grating on him, just like it grates on it. To me, what I got mad at is that everybody was ready to turn their back on this guy after, as your lead guy, your ace, your number one, coming off Tommy John surgery. He not only set all these individual records for himself over the course of his career for his earned run average and all the things he accomplished, he led your team and was a big reason why you ran away with the division and had the best record in the league. So don't sit there after one start and tell me that he shouldn't be out there on the bump again and he shouldn't be a guy you believe in. Now, what I did say
after
that,
both things can be true, though, right? Like, both things can be true. Like, you can be critical of his last six outings in the playoffs, and, I mean, the evidence backs it up, while also not thinking that he shouldn't get the ball.
Right. My whole argument is, it's fair, and the numbers are what they are. The results are what they are over his last six starts. But the fact of the matter is, what the annoying part of it is all the fans that were ready to shut the door on him and say, take the ball out of his hands. Don't give it back to him. Don't let him go back out there again. That's what chapped my ass, because that's what I think is completely unrealistic and absolutely, honestly stupid for people to think. Now, it's a different story and a different conversation if he does it again tonight, which I said in the last segment. If that happens, now maybe there is some harder thought. Like Jeremy said, you're teetering. You're not punishing the child yet. You're not taking action just yet, but you're keeping a closer eye. We're all watching tonight with a little bit of bated breath because we're hoping to God he doesn't do what he did in the first game of the Seattle series. But there's nothing in my mind personally that tells me that a guy that is such a student of the game, the craft of pitching, that is such a constant scientist in terms of making sure that he is doing everything he possibly can to be the best pitcher he can be, there's nothing in my mind personally that believes that he's going to crap the bed tonight. I believe he's going to come out, he's going to have a really strong outing, and he's going to show you exactly why he's been the guy ever since he's put on an Astros uniform.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. So reading a lot of articles today from New York, and we know how many media members in New York, a lot of national media members are quite frankly just Yankee fans, but reading one of them, I believe it was from John Heyman in the Post, he talked about how the win yesterday for the Yankees saved Aaron Boone's job, which is like, I get that. Like, if you drop a series against the Guards, Aaron Boone, of course, they were on like this record pace to potentially break single season records in Major League Baseball for the most wins, shatter the 0-1 Mariners, shatter team records, and didn't have a good second half. I find it fascinating, though, that like the finish line for Aaron Boone to save his job was the ALDS. Like, the Steinbrenner Yankees that we used to know, it's like you go to the World Series, you win the World Series, 27 titles. I found it shocking that already people were writing that Aaron Boone has saved his job because they beat the Guardians in Game 5 of the ALDS. I also got the sense that yesterday's game, like Boone was managing that game like a Game 7 of the World Series. And that's not to be critical of Aaron Boone. An elimination game in the playoffs, you should be managing like Game 7 of the World Series. But my theory and the feel that I got from reading this, and y'all can correct me if maybe I'm just, you know, I have a screw loose here. Maybe I'm a lunatic, which happens on a daily basis, 12-3 on ESPN 97.5. It almost feels to me like the ALCS for the Yankees is gravy at this point. Like, they got here. They got to the moment where they're playing the Astros. Aaron Boone has saved his job. They can't call this a failure of a year, even though they had a disappointing second half. I almost feel like whatever happens in this series is going to be okay from, like, a Yankee perspective. Not the fan base. I'm talking within the organization.
I don't feel that way because I feel like, though it isn't the George Steinbrenner days of old, and I just watched that documentary on the 77-78 Yankees, and how Steinbrenner was just so willing to, you know, cut bait on Billy Martin and all the different personalities and all the expectations that were always there. It's different now that George is gone, but it's still a lot of the same. I believe that Boone saved his job by the way that they came out of the last week or two of the season into the playoffs and then winning this series. I believe that Boone's job was in question. I know that we had national people on this show that told us, hey, he signed an extension, he ain't going anywhere. Well, money's never been an object with the Yankees. And the fact is, unlike Cleveland, who was just happy to be there, who is happy to be still winning with all the guys that they've let walk out the door and they've traded away when they were due bigger contracts, because that's what they do as a mid-market team that just doesn't want to spend the money. They just take every win they can possibly soak up, but they're not expecting the same things that the Yankees or the Astros expect. But now that they've gotten through this series, I believe Boone's job is safe. But I believe he was managing it because he knows in New York, it is not acceptable to lose in the division series.
Sure. But if he loses this series, and I don't even know if it matters how, I think he's back next year.
I do too.
Which is kind of the point. Like, it feels like the finish line, at least from an Aaron Boone perspective, but look, he's the manager of the club, is you get to the ALCS, you're good. You're Gucci. You're fine. Whereas, like, that's not the Yankees' mantra. That's not the Yankees we knew growing up.
No, it's not. And I think that when we remember now, after they had this monumental rise in the first half of the season and then this catastrophic fall in the second half, both Boone and Cashman were in jeopardy. I'm not sure Cashman's out of the water yet. I'm not sure he's off the hot seat just yet.
He shouldn't be.
And I think that as much as I think I agree with everybody that thinks Boone will be back, because I also think the other thing that's big is the guys in that locker room like Boone a lot.
I think Boone's a better manager than Cashman is a GM.
I agree. Well, at this point, maybe. Cashman's done some pretty savvy things in the past. But the one thing, just like the way we led the show off, the one thing that doesn't give me as much intimidation from a Yankees perspective coming into this series is, they don't have the same kind of pitching staff top to bottom that has been built in the past with, you know, all the guys that they weren't afraid to go out and get and trade for and bring into their rotation and stock up their bullpen with. And that's where I think Cashman has faltered. I think that if they lose this series, because I think, you know, especially with Judge and Limbo, and Judge is a Boone guy. Judge really likes Boone. I think that they'll skip looking at Boone, but they'll look at Cashman and say, why didn't we have, depending on how the series goes and where the fingers are pointed as to why it got away from them or they didn't win it, I think a ton of people will start saying, Brian Cashman, why didn't you do what you've done in the past? Why didn't you get us another bat? Why didn't you get us someone to fill in for LeMahieu or someone to fill in with another guy that could hit for average? Bader looks good for his making that move in some regards, but the way Montgomery started as a Cardinal after you traded away one of the starting pitchers that would have been big in this series for a defensive-minded center fielder, it's still on the table.
Look, other than the pressure, which I understand the pressure in New York is greater than maybe anywhere else,
yep,
that's the easiest place to be a general manager. You have unlimited resources. You have the money to spend. Would you rather be a GM in New York or Tampa Bay?
Well, you can look at it from two different.
Should be an easy place to win. It's like coaching at Texas. You have all the resources. You should always be good.
See, it is from the standpoint that you always have the resources. It isn't from the standpoint of you got all that money to do all those things. But if you misstep with those things when you make those moves, you are going to be hyper-criticized.
Well, that's why I said other than the pressure,
and a lot quicker from the media to, you know, the ownership to everybody around that team and ex-players that played there. Everyone's going to be pointing a finger at you, going, "You screwed up. You screwed up."
And I understand you can't eliminate the pressure, but if you're a general manager and you, like, you have to win a World Series in 10 years or you're going to die, would you rather have New York or Tampa Bay's resources?
Sure, obviously New York.
It should be the easiest place to GM. Now, if you remove the pressure, I understand the pressure and the stress is a different beast. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Mark, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Mark?
How you doing, guys? I'm a Yankee fan living in Houston.
Oh, boy.
And so I just wanted to give you a take on, I know you guys are immersed in the Houston Astros. I'm immersed in the Yankees. And I hear you talking about what you think the Yankees people think of Aaron Boone and all that. So let me just say that being connected to a lot of Yankee fans and all that, every one of us would have fired Aaron Boone if there was a day between yesterday's game and today. Unfortunately, you probably can't because we had to travel to get here. But I know you're reading somebody's column and saying that Aaron Boone changed his job. Most of us don't think that. None of us do. Really.
Do you? Are you more connected than John Heyman, Mark? Just ask.
No.
Just ask.
John Heyman was the one that told us Aaron Boone's job was saved, and he signed an extension. I don't know where your connections are, Mark, and I'm not claiming to be Ma Bell with my connections. I'm just telling you, I've got plenty of fans and people around the Yankees that said, just like you did, but at midseason or a little bit past that. Both guys' jobs were in jeopardy. But yeah. But we were told by multiple people, and it's now kind of playing out even more, Boone might not, I don't think Boone's the guy, but I don't think Cashman's off the hot seat.
Appreciate
I want to say one.
Go ahead, Mark.
I want to say one thing about Cashman. I just want to say one thing about Cashman. If you remember the uproar when Cashman traded Montgomery for Bader, and you know Bader was hurt at the time, and everybody's, oh, Brian Cashman got robbed and he's horrible and all that. A lot of us thought that our biggest problem was Aaron Hicks, and he stinks. And if you saw him yesterday, he stinks. And we all thought that even though Montgomery was a very good pitcher, he only plays once a week. And Harrison Bader is a center fielder, has been an impact difference maker in the playoffs. So I think a lot of this stuff, it's the instant take stuff, but in the end, it's possible that Bader ends up to be a much better player for the Yankees, and we'll just have to see what happens here with the pitching.
Appreciate the call,
Mark. Do you think Cashman's job is safe? Do you want him back?
I think Mark's gone. Now, I don't disagree with Mark's point about the whole Bader Montgomery thing. Like, it looks silly because he's hurt at the time.
Out, tilted towards the Cardinals, and now it's coming back because of the opening round series of Bader.
Jordan Montgomery maybe is better than Tyon. Like, I trust Severino more than I trust in Jordan Montgomery in a playoff start. So Jordan Montgomery, at best, is your number four starter. He might not even be your number four starter. Might be your number five. So if you're trading for a center fielder that's going to play every single day for a back end of the rotation guy, I can see the logic there. It was mocked and scrutinized because Montgomery was great for the Cardinals and Bader was hurt. As far as the Boone opinion that Mark had, I think both things can be true. Like, a fan base wanting to get rid of a guy versus he saved his job with his superiors and his boss losses, both things can exist. Both things can be possible, and that's what I think. Look, Yankee fans don't like Boone. I trust Mark's opinion on that. But I do think that Aaron Boone's job is safe, mm-hmm. based on people we've talked to, based on John Heyman's article, based on the contract
and
that
the players'
signed.
Comments, too. The players seem to like him. That means something when you're talking about the psyche of a clubhouse and the culture that you're trying to create or keep, especially when you're trying to keep the best player in the locker room.
He's also sick. I was listening to Boone's press conference yesterday. He couldn't stop coughing. He sounded like Branham did last week. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. The ALCS rosters are out. The Astros made one change. We discuss it. We look at the Yankees roster. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, it's that time of the year when you're hoping that your favorite players in orange and blue take it to another level. And when your favorite athletes always strive to put themselves in a winning position, it's a great feeling. And it's about time you get that feeling with MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag has the biggest online selection of odds and contests to fill all of your sports betting needs. And you can bet anytime, anywhere, any place with the only place I tell you to do it. It's MyBookie.ag. And you can bet on all the different sports, NFL, Major League Playoffs, soccer, UFC, or now a new thing that you can do. Big cash prizes, weekly blackjack tournaments, where you can get involved in that too. If you've been waiting for the right time to get in on the action, that time is now, but the time is ticking and it's going to go fast. This is the last week of the double your initial deposit bonus. Yep, the last week you can double what you put in on your initial bonus at mybookie.ag. All you got to do is go there to mybookie.ag and put in the promo code BET975 and then claim your double deposit match of what you put in, up to $1,000. For example, you put $200 in, you get $400 almost instantly to play within your account. More money means more games to bet on and more chances to win. The promo code BET975 will allow you to claim your double deposit bonus. Just go to mybookie.ag right now, use that promo code BET975, and make this winning season for you too. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Someone's pointing out to me that I said Gucci on the radio.
Yes, you did.
It did feel like I got on the end of the bat a little bit. It did feel like maybe it sawed me off and it broke my bat. I didn't feel great about it. I'm not sure I'm going to go back there.
I wouldn't go square peg, round hole, but it didn't exactly fit your normal narrative.
I don't know if I have the swag to pull that off. Brendan was telling us that somebody called him during the break and asked him, is the Rockets game going to be on 740 and 790? Or 790.
You guys don't understand that. That's not that uncommon.
This when is, Friday, which, when they open the season at home? I don't think anybody knows or cares they're playing tonight.
What's funny to me about that is that, like, it again proves, without a shadow of a doubt, that those stations, flagships, Highway to Hell, what do you call it, cardiac arrest, they get listened to when the games are on. But they listen to us when they're not. That's what the caller was listening to 97.5. So he's like, well, since I'm listening to 97.5, I heard Branham give the number one of the 100 times he gives the number. Let me call and ask just them. I mean, it's who I listen to. It's who I'm talking to. Why not ask those guys?
I mean, we already figured out, thankfully, and we're blessed to say this, but that the who's who of the people that cover these teams on a daily basis tune in to listen to us. And so we feel grateful for that, but we also feel obligated to give you most all of the information that you need to know and our opinions. That information right there, though, is not part of it.
I kind of like it, though. If you want to call and ask Brendan random questions off the air that do not pertain to our radio station, feel free.
Do you not want me to be involved in our show?
Depends on what we're talking about
later.
Distracted.
Can I answer that off the air?
Why would you answer off the air?
Because I'm not.
That's no fun.
Because I'll answer it to you off the air.
All right, fair enough. All right, the Astros ALCS roster is out, and there is the one change. It's the change that we were actually hoping for. Not a surprise that they dropped a position player for a pitcher. You're playing potentially 7 games in 8 days. You're playing potentially 5 games in a row after the only off day of this series is on Friday after game 2 of the ALCS. And usually it's just the common thing to do anyways. You're keeping 13 pitchers in a 7-game series. So the Astros are keeping 13 pitchers, which means that they had to drop a position player and add a pitcher. The position player they dropped is Jake Meyers. We kind of like predicted that was going to happen.
We knew his resume was going to be put on basically decision-making in the game two when he started. We saw what he did or didn't do by the way he performed and knew that the writing was not only on the wall, it was probably there, lock, stock, and barrel decided.
People are calling Brendan right now. I see him laughing behind the glass. 713-780-ESPN. But, he had an opportunity to earn playing time. He had the game two start, which they didn't put him in a great position to have success against Luis Castillo. He looked lost. He looked like Houston Astro Jake Myers, not Sugarland Space
it's
Cowboy
one thing to go
Jake
down
Myers.
Swinging. It's another thing to go down looking at fastballs down the middle of the plate.
Now, there was still a path for him to be a factor in the series, even if it wasn't as a starter in center field. As a defensive replacement. He is your best
runner,
he's your best defensive center fielder. So that was the path to keep him on the roster. But the moment that Dusty Baker went Mauricio Dubon in the 18th inning in game three in Seattle in center field instead of Jake Myers, to me was the biggest tell that Jake Myers was going to
sure
be the guy
gone. And then go ahead, keep going, because you were the one that very astutely pointed this out. I want you to get the flowers and the credit that you deserve. But from a pitching perspective, you pretty much predicted and called this one, and it came to fruition.
Well, the person that they added was Seth Martinez, which is your guy. A lot of people thought it was going to be Will Smith because he wasn't really a trade deadline acquisition. He was a salary dump for next year. Of course, the odor
is. And it was addition by subtraction to get rid of the odor.
All of it. You know, risk, reward, et cetera, et cetera. But you look at the Yankees lineup, and there are a couple of lefties. Now, it's heavy righty. The best hitters in that lineup. Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Gleyber Torres, Josh Donaldson. I don't know if I put him in the best hitter for the Yankees conversation.
Rizzo's the lefty that could do some damage.
There's two lefties that I think are going to start a decent amount in this series. Anthony Rizzo's their everyday first baseman. He's going to start every single game at first base. Now with the injury to Aaron Hicks, I think there's a good chance we see a lot of Matt Carpenter as the DH and Giancarlo Stanton in left field.
Houston native.
Yeah, went
Matt
to Elkins.
Carpenter.
Played for his old man or his uncle? I can never remember. But anyways, those are the two lefties in this lineup for Aaron Boone that you're going to see a decent amount. Is that enough for the Astros to keep Will Smith to try to counter Anthony Rizzo and Matt Carpenter? But then if you dive a little bit deeper into their numbers, which we know that James Click and the analytical dudes and Dusty Baker even are looking at this stuff, Anthony Rizzo actually hits left-handed pitchers better than he hits righties, and Matt Carpenter actually hits left-handed pitchers better than he hits righties. So the whole neutralizing their lefties with a lefty is counterproductive. It's the opposite of what you want to do. So the Astros elect to go with Seth Martinez over Will Smith, a move that I absolutely love.
I do too, because it once again tells Dusty that you don't have to have a loogie to lean on that you can spit out there whenever you want. You just need guys that get guys out, and the numbers show you what you need to know that the eye test doesn't, in the case of old-school type guys sometimes, that, hey, you got a guy that can get anybody out, that has a good history of getting major league hitters out, that gives you a little bit more confidence because it's a guy, this is where they kind of play Dusty in the process into going along with the decision. Dusty likes him some Seth Martinez because when he's called his number all year long, he's come up big for him. He's done the things that Dusty asked him to do. So it's not like giving him someone that he doesn't want to play, that he doesn't believe in, that he doesn't maybe like, in the case of certain people, unlike, you know, Chaz earlier in the year.
He likes Chaz more than Jake right now.
Now he likes Chaz more, but there was a time when he basically, and I think Chandler was the one that brought it out,
him in center field.
That Dusty doesn't like Chaz.
Yeah.
Well, Dusty now likes Chaz a whole lot more because he's performed. And Seth has performed for him all year long. So it's a guy that he can go to, that he can trust, that he believes in, even though he's giving up something that he's always believed in, which is having one lefty in the bullpen. So I like the move. You were all over it. And I think it sets the Astros up with the best roster for success because you still have a pinch runner capability with Dubon as well as the defensive outfielder with speed that you can go with Dubon. Neither guy could hit, so it doesn't matter. It's a wash at this point. Now Jake can just enjoy it, be around it, soak up the atmosphere, continue to get healthy, work on things, and be ready for next year.
I'm surprised. Now, I'm not surprised with this decision between the ALDS and the ALCS, but if you would have told me before the playoffs started that they would keep David Hinsley on the roster over Jake Myers, I would have said you lost your mind.
Absolutely, because no one at this point knew enough about David Hinsley and didn't see him enough on the major league level to believe this is a guy that could play have an impact on your team.
Right.
And he changed the narrative.
Yeah,
it might
have just been one plate appearance. Like, he might have won this job. Well, one plate appearance for Hinsley.
In the season where he had a game winner and he did some things.
But you're not keeping Hinsley because of the things he did in the regular season. But I also, it's not just the one at bat for Hinsley, it's also the at bats for Myers that all played into this conversation. Now, any sort of usage for Seth Martinez, quite frankly, I don't even see him pitching in this series.
Probably right.
Unless there's like you need to eat an inning, maybe
extra
you're up
innings, maybe?
Seven runs. Even then, like if you need somebody long, Urquidy. Luis Garcia is the answer. Jose Urquidy is option number two.
I'm talking about just that back burner.
Super yeah. deep. The only way I envision Seth Martinez actually being used in the series, if it's a blowout late in the game and you're trying to eat some innings because you're playing five games in a row. And it could be either way. Maybe you're up six runs. Maybe the Yankees are up six runs. And Seth Martinez pitches the eighth instead of Ryan Stanek because you want Ryan Stanek to have a day, try to get back on track for the rest of the series. So I don't think it's like a critical move, but it is something to pay attention to. From a Yankee perspective, there were some thoughts that Andrew Benintendi would be back in this series coming off, I think it was the hamate, wasn't it? Didn't he break his hamate?
He did.
He has not faced live pitching. He is not on the roster. DJ LeMahieu, who actually missed a long time with, I believe it was a toe injury. He didn't play from September 4th through September 30th, but he played in five of the last six regular season games. And was actually 4-16. He wasn't atrocious. He is not
they
on the ALCS
they
roster.
They shut him
either.
Down after that series.
Well, he's been working to get back. He's been taking live BP and stuff.
I'm saying, but at the end of I'm just going from time frame wise. At the end of the regular season, they shut him down again because it wasn't getting better. Even though he was trying to get back, now he was working to try and get back yet again. Obviously, it's the most important time of the season, and now you find out. And that was the guy who always worried me when
Same.
He came to the plate.
I'm happy he's not
could
on the roster.
Could hit for average, could hit for power, could hit for two strikes. That's a guy I'm happy is not there.
713-780-ESPN. We're going to talk to a former Astro general manager to kind of pick his brain on what this type of season is like, putting the roster crunch together, making those tough decisions, those lineups, all of that. Tim Perpura, former Astro GM, joins the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, right now I want to tell you about the good people at Vivia. Look, you might be doing some spring cleaning in the fall. You might be doing some remodeling of your home while the weather is a little cooler. You might be doing a lot of things where you need cleanup, but you didn't think about that in the process of making all the plans to get done what you needed to get done. Maybe you're just cleaning out the attic in the garage. But guess what? Vivia is here to help, and all it takes is a phone call. 832-699-1555, or better yet, go to the website govavia.com and you can get in touch with them. They can drop off and pick up in the same day a 10-yard or 15-yard roll-off dumpster that's small enough to fit comfortably in your driveway, won't piss off your HOA, and will get all that ugly dump, all that garbage and all that excess and waste from whatever you're doing off your property on the same day so that you can keep concentrating on the job that needs to get done. It works for project managers too. There's a reason why Texas Custom Patios trust Vivia with all their waste needs for their projects. We use them at the ESPN Golf Tournament. You can use them too. They're the best in the business, and they're here to help you on a daily basis. All it takes is you getting in contact with them. Tell them what you got going on. They'll tell you the right dumpster. They'll bring it. They'll leave it there for the day or however long you need it and take it away when you want it to go. It's simple, it's easy, and it gets everything you need done to take out the trash. All I'm telling you to do is check them out. Go to GoVavia, that's GoVavia.com, and check out all the dumpster options and how they can help you. If you need them, call them. They'll take care of you. Just mention ESPN 97.5 along the way. That's GoVavia.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Here's another remarkable success story from QC Connect.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save.